Well, this is a very windy day in Stourbridge. I've tried to stand out of the wind. It's about 4 p.m. It's dark, and it's very busy just before Christmas. Lots of people shopping. And, I did try to get in, and I've had a difficult time. I managed it by God's grace. Thank you, Lord, for the parking. I've just come from Bromsgrove, where I've preached in the open air as well. I've preached here many times in the past. I'm very glad to be here again. And the small town of Stourbridge. Father, I pray for this town. I pray that you'd have mercy upon the people who live here. I pray that you'd have mercy upon visitors. I pray, Father, that you pour out your Holy Spirit on this town. I pray you bless this effort at preaching the gospel now. I pray that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would be lifted up, and that people would come to know the salvation that comes from God through faith in him alone. I pray you strengthen me. I pray you strengthen my voice. I pray you'd help me, Father. I pray that your name would be glorified in my heart and life, and that you'd be with me now. This I ask and pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Well, good afternoon. It's my honour and privilege to be here to preach that gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Christmas is about the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? And yet today we live in a day when everybody seems to want to cancel the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever asked the question, why is this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, being cancelled? Why is his name being expunged from Christmas? Why are councils and governments and others wanting to take away the name of Jesus and the Christmas story, which is a true story? Why are they wanting to take that away? Why are they wanting to replace it with snowmen and Santa Clauses and reindeer with flashing red noses and things like that? You see, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's why it is a joyful thing indeed to know that God sent his Son into the world, that God's love, God's mercy to the undeserving and sinners like us led him to send his Son into the world to become the Saviour of the world. People think that you can have all the joy that goes with knowing that Jesus came into the world without knowing Jesus Christ, but you can't. You can take all of the trimmings, you can take the turkey and the TV and everything else, and it will leave you empty. It will leave you without any peace or without any knowledge of God. But you see, the Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ came into the world to be the Saviour of the world. He came into the world to die for sinners, to love sinners and lay down his life for sinners like you and me. The Lord Jesus was born of a virgin. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit, who overshadowed Mary. Now, there has been no virgin birth in history except the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is medically and scientifically and biologically impossible for there to be a virgin birth. But the Lord Jesus was a virgin birth. He was born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem. The Old Testament told us that he would be born in Bethlehem of a virgin. It told us that he is the Jewish Messiah, that he is the one whom the Jewish people at that time were looking for, that he fulfilled all of those prophecies in the Old Testament. They prophesied he would be born of a virgin, that prophesied he would be born in Bethlehem. But the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into the world, who was born of a virgin in Bethlehem, is none other than the Lord of glory, the eternal God. For eternal ages, before the Lord Jesus was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, he existed. The eternal God, the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ is God the Son. Jesus Christ is the one who became incarnate. That means that God, who is a spirit, became flesh and dwelt among us. God the Father agreed to send the Son into the world, and Jesus agreed to come into the world and be born of a virgin so that he might become the Saviour of the world. That's why Jesus came into the world. That's why he was born in a stable, in absolute humility. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ considered it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, Jesus is the eternal God, the maker of heaven and earth. All the power, All the majesty, all of the glory that belongs to God belongs to Jesus Christ. Yet no one seeing that child in a manger in Bethlehem, looking at that child, would see anything other than a baby. And yet these shepherds were told by the heavenly host, by the angels in heaven, that unto them this day was born in Bethlehem a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And the angels said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. These were glad tidings of great joy that Jesus Christ had been born into the world. Now I submit to you that at the same time there were many other babies being born throughout the world. But this baby was special. This baby was different. This baby was extraordinary. This baby was God incarnate. All the glory that belongs to God belongs to Jesus Christ. And he becomes flesh and dwells among us. And he is born in Bethlehem. And his glory is veiled. No human palace could reflect the glory of heaven, and the glory of heaven is that holy place where the Lord Jesus Christ dwells. But the Lord Jesus wasn't born in any earthly palace. He was born in a stable. He was laid in a manger. And this is the most extraordinary thing that God did, that God so loved the world that he gave his son, that the Lord Jesus came into the world, that he condescended to be born, to become flesh. When the Lord Jesus walked this earth, he was tired, he was weary, he was hungry, he was thirsty. He was despised and rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows. And he became a sacrifice for our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. He died in the place of sinners, just like you and me. He died in the place of the unworthy, the unrighteous, the unjust, the ungodly, the unholy, the unbelieving. The Lord Jesus Christ died for sinners. That's who that baby was in Bethlehem. The Saviour of the world. Now there's only one Saviour of the world. No one else will save you but Jesus Christ. No one else can take away your sin. No one else can make you right with God. No one else can deliver you from the wrath to come. Jesus Christ alone, who was born of a virgin in Bethlehem. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world. The Lord Jesus, the one who saves all those who come to God through him. And without Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved. Muhammad is a false prophet. Buddha is dead and buried and he cannot help you. But Jesus Christ, hallelujah, Jesus Christ is alive today. And he reigns in the heavenlies. He reigns, he is on the throne of heaven, and Jesus Christ will very soon return. And the Bible says, whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Because there is a wrath to come, and there is a judgment to come. And God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world. And we must turn from our sins, and we must repent of our sins, and we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ if we should be saved. Now the Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, the Virgin Mary, in Bethlehem. And he is King of kings and Lord of lords. And the angel said to the shepherds, I bring you glad tidings of exceeding joy, of great joy that God had sent his son into the world, great joy that the Lord Jesus Christ had been born, great joy that a Savior had come who would lay down his life in the place of sinners, who would bear the punishment for sin, who would pay the price for sin, whose blood would cleanse us from sin if we believe on him. And we must repent of our sins, lying and swearing and cursing and fornication and adultery, sexual immorality of every kind, homosexuality, lesbianism, pornography, transgender ideology, which is nonsense. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the saving of our souls. He was born in Bethlehem, but he was appointed to die. He was born in Bethlehem, but he was appointed to go to the cross of Calvary. He was born in Bethlehem to be the one who would take away the sin of the world. And we must believe on him if we would be saved. We must turn from our sin. We must cast ourselves upon him. We must cry out to God, have mercy upon us and save us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because nothing else will take away your sin. And if you die in your sins, you will go to hell for eternity. Only the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loved sinners and gave himself for sinners. Have you ever asked yourself why at this time of year the Lord Jesus Christ has been cancelled? We've heard of many in the last year who have been cancelled by various individuals and people for various reasons. But no one has been cancelled like the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a banned book. He is an undesired person by our councils, by our government and others. But the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, he is the Lord of glory. All the glory that belongs to God belongs to Jesus Christ. And if we read the Bible, we read about him and we can read about his birth and the amazing events around the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can find out for ourselves who Jesus Christ is and why he was born of a virgin. This was a sign sent from God. This was a sign that God was intervening, that God had come, that God had appeared in the flesh. Jesus Christ being God in the flesh. Now the Bible says whoever denies that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, that whoever denies that Christ has come in the flesh is Antichrist. So, for example, if Islam teaches that Jesus is not God but merely a prophet, Islam is not only wrong, Islam has a spirit of Antichrist. You see, Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the second person of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ, that baby, born of a virgin in Bethlehem, is God with us, Emmanuel, God with us. He is God the Son, incarnate in flesh, God who has become man. But then you see the Lord Jesus Christ isn't like us. Although he is fully man and fully God, he was altogether without sin. We are sinners by nature. We are guilty before Almighty God. We are unworthy of his mercy. We are unworthy of his salvation. We are unworthy of his goodness. When God sent his son Jesus Christ into the world to be born of a virgin in Bethlehem, God did not send the Lord Jesus to die for the righteous or the just or the holy. There were none. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. We are all together become corrupt. We're all wicked. We're all corrupt. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us is guilty before God. None of us is righteous. All of us are sinful. None of us deserves mercy. Every one of us deserves death. And the wages of sin is death. And the Bible says that whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire. That's what will happen to you if you do not find the one who was born of a virgin in Bethlehem, the Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. You will be cast into hell for your sins for eternity. But oh, the love of God, and oh, the mercy of God, and oh, the goodness of God, that he so loved this world that he sent and he gave Jesus. And the Bible says it was whilst we were yet sinners that Christ died for the ungodly. The ungodly, the unholy, the unrighteous. Christ died for the ungodly. He died. It's all the truth, my friend. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You cannot come to God except through Jesus Christ. It is not possible. You cannot do it. The Lord Jesus is that Saviour of the world. The Lord Jesus is that one who delivers. The Lord Jesus is the one who gives salvation. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And Jesus proved that he has the power of life, that he has destroyed the last enemy, which is death, that he has triumphed over the grave, because he was resurrected by the power of God, having paid the penalty for sin, having laid down his life in the place of sinners. The Lord Jesus was resurrected from the dead by the power of Almighty God. He is not dead, he is risen. He is ascended, he is reigning in heaven. He will soon return on the clouds of glory. The Lord Jesus Christ will be revealed on the clouds of glory, in all the majesty and glories which belong to Almighty God, which belong to Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world. And my dear friends, if you know Jesus Christ, you have life from the dead. If you do not know him, the wrath of God abides upon you. You are dead in your trespasses and sins. One lie would see you cast into hell for eternity. One swear word, one foolish word, one sexually immoral or sexually impure thought. God looks at the heart. But thanks be to God, the Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin in Bethlehem. This is the Bible. Nobody else in history has ever been born of a virgin. Nobody could be born of a virgin. A virgin birth is not possible. But the Bible says that the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary, and he was born in a stable in Bethlehem. And he was that man born to die to be the Saviour of the world. I know a lot of it. I've been a Christian for a long time, but I know Jesus Christ. That's the important thing. He's alive. He's the Saviour. He was born of a virgin. He was perfect. He was pure. He never sinned. He died for sinners like you and me. And my sins are forgiven because Jesus died in my place. If you find Jesus Christ, your sins will be forgiven as well, and you will have everlasting life. If you don't find Jesus Christ, you cannot have everlasting life. You will go to hell. Well, Jesus Christ is alive. He's seated on the heaven, on the throne of heaven. And the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you cry out to him. You say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And he comes and he lives in your heart and he changes you from within. If you want more information, you read the Bible for yourself. I could give you a card if you want. Any follow-up online, I can give you one of my cards. That's who I am, and that's my YouTube channel. I'll give you one as well if you want. Thank you very much for listening. But Jesus is alive, and he'll give you life. Thank you very much for listening. The Lord bless you. Jesus Christ is alive today. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world today. Lord, have mercy upon those two young women. And oh Lord, save them from their sin. Deliver them from the wrath to come. Give them salvation and everlasting life, Lord. Have mercy upon them, I pray. Jesus will save you from your sin. He is alive. He was born of a virgin in Bethlehem. He was born in absolute humility. He was born in a stable, and yet he is the Lord of glory. God will not allow us to worship anyone but himself, but we may worship Jesus Christ because he is God. Praise God. You're Christians, I hope?
Yeah.
You know the Lord Jesus?
We go out preaching ourselves, actually.
All right, where do you preach?
All over.
Okay.
We've preached here a few times.
Oh, that's really good. Yeah. It's good to come here about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, because lots of students come here and eat their lunch in the square here.
Yeah.
So there's two big colleges here.
Yeah.
So where are you based?
Well, I'm in Shrewsbury.
Yes.
This is in Stourbridge.
Very good. Excellent. Yeah, and I'm David.
I'm Steve.
I meet quite a few other open air preachers, but it's just the right work. It's really God's work to stand up and preach and speak about the Lord Jesus Christ.
I need to pick up to
know. All right.
Okay. You exchange them?
Yeah. Okay. That's my card, and you can find me online.
Thank you very much.
And just one thing: have you heard of Hatton Tash?
No.
Okay, Hatton Tash is a woman who preaches to Muslims at Speaker's Corner in London. Hatton Tash has gone.
I'll see you.
Thank you. Hatton Tash has been missing for a month.
Right.
And she's had lots of death threats from Muslims. She's been stabbed. She's been the guy put in prison for 16 years last week for threatening to shoot her.
Right.
And we were asking everybody to pray for Hatton Tash.
Okay.
Over 1,000 Muslims have come to know the Lord Jesus through her ministry. So we have a network of open air preachers throughout the country.
Praise God.
And there's a guy from Oswestry who preaches. That's right. Yes, I know him. So
yes.
But I think he's Pentecostal. I'm not.
He doesn't really agree with us. He actually put a thing on his website, that a disclaimer: I'm nothing to do with those okay. traveling priest, street preachers.
Okay.
And he says that we preach condemnation, but we give the whole.
Oh, we have to preach hell. We have to preach hell.
Judgment.
Yeah,
we can avoid it.
Yes.
Jesus is the answer. And
we do.
Get into hell if you don't repent and don't turn to him.
Amen. That's what I preach. I really do. We have to preach that.
Yeah.
We can't lie to people. We must tell them the truth. And of course, we must preach the law, because the Holy Spirit uses the law to convict people.
Yes.
If they're never convicted of their sins, they won't turn. They won't repent. They won't believe.
Yeah.
So, do you have a church?
Well, the funny thing is, we've tried all the churches, and his was one of them, actually.
I went
to his church for a while. But there's not a church in Shrewsbury
that's doing
the work, so we're having to start our own.
You do that.
And we're starting it in my house.
A lot of open-air preachers in the same situation. I find it very hard to find a church, because they're behind the curve. The trouble is, you're the loose cannon.
Yeah.
And you might say something in the street that gets them into trouble, and they can't control you.
Yeah.
Just preach the gospel, brother.
Well, yes, we do.
Just preach the gospel. It's encouraging to meet you. The Lord bless you. And as I say, if you come here at 1 o'clock, that's the best time to come here.
So do you live in Stowe?
I live in Kidderminster.
Kidderminster?
Yeah,
okay. We've preached in Kidderminster a few times.
Yeah, it's a great place to preach.
It really is.
Yes, there's a few preachers there, but you know, just this is how the gospel's getting out. It's not coming from the pulpits now.
No.
We've got to get it out there to
that's
people.
What I always say. When people say, why do you have to do this? We don't.
Yes.
You do need to hear it, because you're not going to churches anymore.
No.
But when you do, you're just hearing poison.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I think you and I have got a kindred spirit there, very much.
Yeah,
the Lord bless you.
This is really exciting to meet
God,
you.
God bless you. Thank you. I'm going to carry on for 5 minutes, then I'm going to stop. So I've already preached in Bromsgrove today. So
have you?
Yes.
We preached in Bromsgrove about 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah.
We didn't get much reaction there, to be honest.
Have you preached in Telford?
No, because we've preached in Wellington loads.
Okay, right. Yeah, good. Excellent. Yeah,
but
yeah.
Telford, the town centre.
I know.
It's private, isn't it?
I know. So I preached there once. And I got into trouble. So that was a long time ago. But I worked in Telford for 10 years. So it's a town that's close to my heart. And Dudley, I lived in for 10 years. I've done a lot of preaching in Dudley.
Right.
And up to, as far as Wolverhampton as
well.
Yeah,
we go all over those places.
Oh, that's thrilling. That's thrilling.
We go like Nantwich, Northwich.
Yes, absolutely wonderful.
We Hereford. We got one of our guys got arrested in Hereford 3 weeks ago, but they dropped the charges.
Thank the Lord for that. If you ever do get arrested, get in contact with Christian Concern. I was formerly one of their clients as well.
Right.
So
Navaid.
I know Navaid really well.
Yeah,
I know Navaid really
Michael.
Well. Excellent man. Mike's been my lawyer. He's brilliant. Absolutely lovely man.
Okay.
Excellent.
I've only spoke to them on the phone.
Okay.
I've never actually met them.
Oh, I know them. I know them very well.
Yeah, Jimmy. There's a guy who comes out. He's an Asian guy. He's got a very good test.
Yes.
You may have seen him around. Tall, young Asian guy, preaches with fire.
I haven't seen him.
He's one of our group.
Yes, great, that's wonderful.
We had it's the most hectic time we've ever had, actually. We had a load of Muslims around us in Walsall. There were 70, 80 Muslims.
Right,
and they
right.
formed a human chain around him. They weren't going to let him go. You're going to stand trial. I was trying to get him out.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
Anyway, it's all going to court and Navaid and
Okay, well, they're my friends, and I've got great respect for them. Navaid's an excellent guy, and as I say, they are very much involved in looking for Hatton Tash, the preacher who's gone missing, who had the death threats. So,
is she from London? Where is she?
She's a Turkish woman who left Turkey, lives in London, preaches very regularly at the open air speech. And I don't normally approve of women preachers, but if you look her up on the internet, it's DCCI Ministry. Sorry, I probably want to write that down or something. But she is essentially. Let me find something on my phone here. If you follow my YouTube channel, you find I've done a thing on her. But she's got a lot of people absolutely love her. But she's absolutely on fire for the Lord, and she's absolutely forthright about the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me go here. I just want to show you something here. This is it.
Yeah.
This is the one. Jay Smith's ministry. Hatton Tash is missing. Can you help us find her?
Right. Okay.
So there we go.
Well, keep her in prayer.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Dr. Jay Smith, who's coming to you with a rather
Would it be okay to swap phone numbers?
Yes, it would be fine. Yes, okay, yes.
I'll give you my number. I'm over here actually today. It's just, I haven't seen Chris for quite a while.
Yes.
Because he tried to start up a little church here, but it didn't really take off.
Starbridge, yes.
But we came over to support him as street preachers.
Yes. Well, I'm free to preach on Sundays if you want to help.
Yeah, 40 odd miles away from Shrewsbury.
Yeah, yeah.
contacted me yesterday,
yeah.
and I said, well, do you know, the funny thing is, Chris, I'm going to come your way tomorrow to buy a stove.
I
bought a stove off eBay in Dudley.
Yes.
I said, I could hook up with you, we can have some fellowship.
Yes.
So, yeah, it seems like God's in this. It's the first time I've seen him for a little while.
Excellent. So what your number was?
Right, mine. I'm Steve from Shrewsbury.
Steve.
My name's Steve.
Very good.
When I get back to the car,
I can say is the Lord bless you in your opening work, become more bold. The Lord protect our brother who was surrounded by Muslims in Walsall. That's quite disturbing to hear that. It's about time the people of this country woke up and realised they've got a choice. They can either have Jesus Christ or they can have Mohammed.
Yeah,
there's no middle ground.
You're right. They're going to have Sharia law before long if they're not.
Well, they've got it in some places. That's Sharia. That's fearless Muslims exercising Sharia law in public in Walsall.
Yeah.
And we're really worried that Hatton Tash has been murdered.
Yeah. We've had one or two sort of scary moments in the past, but the Lord's always protected us. I mean,
Yes, He does. He does.
We've had some amazing. We were in Tamworth the one time.
Yep.
And we stood outside this pub and we were preaching. We thought we'll preach here, and these guys they were egging each other on, and they were apparently like English Defence League guys. There's the stronghold there.
It's
a dark place. And this one came over and he grabbed the banner off Rich and he wrestled it off him and smashed it on his knee.
Why would the EDL go for Christianity?
They're just nasty people. They're just thugs.
They just want to be people.
So they're all cheering. And I said to Rich, we better move on up the top of the street. So we moved up the top of the street. And then we kind of forgot about these guys. We thought, well, they'd have gone by now anyway. So then about 2 hours later, we came back down the set. Starts preaching. I thought, they're still here. They've had more beer. So started preaching. And they all got up and came over and started effing and jeffing at us. You know, we're going to kick your faces in if you don't get out of town. This woman came out of the shop. She said, please go, guys. You don't know who these people are. I'm a Christian. I fear for your lives. Rich says, look, we're protected by God, we're not afraid of these people. And this guy came along and he's going, God protect you, he's going. He said, yeah, I'd like to see that. Anyway, these guys were getting in our faces and they were like, you know, they were going to beat us up, there's no doubt about it. Out of nowhere, this young man walking home, he was walking home from work, he just saw what was happening. Steps in between the group, nasty bunch of guys, and me and Rich. Whips his jacket off. This was in the summer. He's like muscles everywhere. He's going, you want to fight? Fight me. And he's going, you've got to get through me to get to these guys.
The Lord sends protectors.
these thugs. He was obviously a well-known. He's about 26 years old. These thugs were going, we don't want to argue with you. And he was saying, but you've picked him up. He goes, you pick on them. You're picking on me.
Thank the Lord for that.
Like a sheepdog. He took him over to the pub. He said, now sit there. Drink your beer and shut up. And this woman was going, wow. And this guy was going, wow. I said, there's your protection.
Trust God. That's right.
So these things happen.
Okay. So we've had a good discussion. I was wondering if I could put this discussion we just had online, because I'm recording it. Is that okay? I don't have to. I don't have to put this.
You can do,
It'll be an encouragement. It'll go on sermon audio, so it'll be heard by about 20 people.
It'll
be a big encouragement, because you've told some really important stories about things that God has done with you in your open air preaching. So removed, so that there's no sort of defamation of anybody else. But if you don't want to, I won't. But it would be a big encouragement.
I don't mind you putting it on YouTube.
It'd be the story you've just told, which is really important, and the story about the guy preaching to Muslims in Walsall. I preached in Walsall in the open air and never had trouble like that. And it's because they consider him to be one of them who's turned away from Islam, I guess.
Well, it started off because he carries a very strong banner. And it's anti-LGBT. Lists all the things that are sins to God. So a gay couple came along and they took umbrage towards the banner.
Yeah.
started arguing and shouting, then went away. Then the guy came back, said it's still here, and he literally snatched it off. Yeah. And he tried to smash it up, put it on the floor, and everyone started cheering. Of course, they think, oh, there's going to be some blood, and you get a crowd.
Yes,
and a lot of these guys were Muslims, and they started siding with the two gays.
Yeah.
And our brother said, well, hang on a minute, you're supposed to be against LGBT.
Yes.
So you're showing your true colours now. You'd rather come against Christians
when it suits.
And it kind of went on from there.
Hmm.
And of course, our brother was telling them about Muhammad and about it all being a false religion, and they got angry, and it just flared up.
But we cannot preach the gospel without causing offence.
That's right. Yeah.
Paul
says it's an offence.
You know, if I just stand here and I just say, hey, everybody, I want to tell you God loves you, and then I go home, you know, a lot of people pat me on the head and say, oh, that was lovely, David, well done. But that out anybody would be
it's
saved.
It's no good.
And I do tell people that God loves us, but that love is in the context of the cross of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And all that love is revealed there, everything. And they forsake the love of God when they turn away from Jesus.
Yeah. The thing is, if someone comes along to you and you're deeply in sin, and you say, God loves you, and that's all you say, they walk away going, oh, that's great.
Yeah,
God loves me.
Of course
he loves me as
or,
I am.
Of course he does, because I'm me, and God should love me, because that's God's job. But if God has loved us by sending his son, then that love came at a price.
It certainly did.
And that's...
Well, I mean, I won't tell you, I'll tell you my testimony sometime. The beginning part of my testimony, God in his wisdom put me next to some Christians, and I bought a place to renovate, and they were trying to talk to me about Jesus, and I didn't really want to know. I was in the world, and they were saying Jesus loves you, and I said look, I've never encountered Jesus.
He's
never shown up in my life.
Yes.
The devil has, which he has done. The devil has shown himself. I know he's real. And they just couldn't get through to me. They were saying, well, you know, Steve, God created the devil. You know, he's nothing compared to God. And I'd never read the Bible. And all I knew was, hey, this isn't working. And I was like sneering at them behind their backs, really.
Yes.
And they said to me, we can't get through to you, so we're going to pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd been giving me the hyper love grace gospel months.
Yes.
And God obviously knew that I needed to hear something different.
Yes.
So God sent a guy to me.
Yeah.
In the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
I was on the middle of Dartmoor.
Yes.
And I'm sat in a van, and I'd been building a wall, and obviously I'm nowhere near God. I'm sat, about to have my lunch break, sandwiches and a cup of tea, and I looked up, and on the horizon there was this speck of a figure. And as I'm looking at the speck of the figure, I didn't realise where it was coming from at the time, but a voice literally spoke to me in the van, said, he's coming to you.
Yeah.
And I thought, where did that come from? This is weird. Anyway, so I sat eating my sandwiches, drinking my tea, the guy's getting closer and closer. I'm thinking, about 25 minutes, he comes up. And he was a guy in his 80s, but very sprightly.
Yes.
God had really preserved him well.
Yes, yes.
And he got this stick and he tapped my van windscreen and he said, all right, boy. I said, yeah. Wound the window down. He said, nice job you're doing at the wall. I said, yeah, yes, thank you. And then he starts beating at these nettles and these thistles. And he said, none of this before the fall. And I said, fall? I said, you're not a Bible basher, are you, by any chance?
Yep.
And he turned around, he said, yes, it was the authority. Yes, I am, son. I am a Bible basher.
Yes.
He said, now, do you know the Lord? And I said, no, I don't know the Lord. I got angry with him. I said, I don't know the Lord, and I'm sick of people bashing me with a Bible.
Yeah.
He said, well, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, you're going to hell, son, when you die.
Yeah.
I've never heard it.
Yeah.
And I said to him, how do you mean I'm going to hell? I've never done nothing that bad. I said, I've done bad things, but nothing that deserves hell.
Yes.
And he went into it, and he said, we're all sinners. He said, I was a very bad guy. And looking at his face, I knew he was telling me the truth. He said, when I was young, everyone was scared of me in Plymouth.
Yes.
He said, I was a bar fighter, bar brawler.
Mm-hmm.
I used to want to fight my own shadow.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and God brought me to him. He said, a young Irishman came to work at the docks. He said he had a reputation. He was an amateur boxer, a tough guy, and I wanted to have a fight with him. He said, but I couldn't goad him into a fight. He said, every day I was going, come on, outside, me and you now. You think? And he said, this guy was like, no, I don't want to fight, don't want to fight. He said, and the one day he said to this evangelist, he said, I tell you what, you come to church with me this Sunday and I'll give you a fight. And he said, I just thought, yeah, all right, I'll come to church with you. He said, I went into this church, I met him, walked into this church. He said, the power of the Holy Spirit came on me. I felt like a baby on my face, crying and blubbering my eyes out. He said, and I got born again that morning in the church. And me and the Irish guy became the best of friends. He said, we went out witnessing together.
Not fighting, witnessing.
fighting for the Lord.
Amen.
And as I'm listening to this, I'm looking at this guy because I could see all the scars. I could see his nose. He'd got like a ring-worn face. And I thought, I can see this guy has been a tough boy. And he's telling me the truth. And he hit me with such a hard message. And I went back and I knocked the neighbour's door that night and I said, I told them what I just told you. I said, this guy came out of nowhere. Someone or something told me he was coming. But when he came, he told me I was going to go to hell. Is that true? And they went, well, yeah. I said, well, why didn't you say anything? Well, we didn't really want to mention hell. And I said, but obviously that is what I needed to hear. And from that point on, the rest I'll tell
when
you.
When was that?
Time. That was 15 years ago.
Wonderful.
And I mean, they kind of persuaded me to get into a church. And I didn't really want to go. Like, obviously, with a spiritual battle, the devil was like trying to pull me. No, you don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. But it was the promise of a good hot meal that got me in there. I was like living literally out of a microwave, renovating this place. And, they said, I remember this woman said to me, she said, I tell you what, they're doing a lasagna tonight at this meeting. And they're doing hot sticky toffee pudding and it's really good food. And I thought, you know what, I'll go.
I understand that, yeah.
And, I went to the meeting and God showed me, for the first time, I really saw the light. Because at the end of the meeting, I thought, I don't want to come back to this place. It's full of these Christians. They're just, you I don't want to know. And as I was leaving, the guy who was heading up the meeting, he said, can I just have a word with you, Steve? I said, yeah, sure. And he looked at me and he pointed and he said, God wants you. And as he said it, there was like an unseen protective dome. Came over the pair of us. Cut out all the noise in the hall. There's about 60 people in the hall.
I understand,
and the noise just went, and there's me and him in this dome, and he's looking at me and he's saying, Jesus wants you. And as he's saying this, I'm looking at this guy's face, and he turned completely angelic, and I could see like an aura around his body.
That was astonishing.
And there was light coming from his eyes, his ears, his nose, everywhere. And I'm looking at him thinking, what is this? And then next scene, boom, the protection has gone. He's shaking my hand saying, I'll see you next Tuesday then. I'm going, I turned to the woman that was with me and led me to the church. I said, did you see that? She said, see what? I said, all that light. And she said, well, no. She said, God would have shown you that. It's you that needs it. But that was the start of me. It's the start of it, you know, me actually giving myself to the Lord. It drew me back to the church. Because there was something wonderful there that I wanted. I received it in a few weeks, you know. But it's a very long story. The whole the whole testimony is about to tell the whole testimony.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
But
that's
very
good. Well, it's great to meet you, Steve, and the Lord bless you in your evangelistic work and help you, and you know, keep bumping into people like yourself, like myself, doing this work, and it's really the right work. It's the work that comes from God, and it's there's no limit to what God can do with it.
I know.
I'm despair at what's going on in the Church of England. I despair at what's going on elsewhere, but not in the streets. If the Word of God is being preached, that's hope in that.
Exactly.
That's hope for the nation.
There is. Did you watch Gospel British Isles at all?
Yeah, I do. I know David. He got into a lot of trouble, and my friends Naveed and Michael helped get him out of it. So he got arrested for allegedly misgendering somebody, and he got dealt with very harshly by the courts, and that had a very negative effect on him. He was really worn out by that. But then they had an appeal, and he won his appeal. The judge in the appeal said, "Well, there's no law against using the wrong pronoun for somebody." So, but he was very harshly dealt with by the courts, and but my good friend Naveed and others got him off So that was a really, really important victory in the law.
It would be, yeah.
Because otherwise these people just say, oh, well, the open air preacher misgendered me and therefore he should go to prison or whatever. David didn't go to prison. I met up with David earlier this year in Hull. I was living in Hull at the time, and right. and we both preached in the open air. And I got enormous respect for him. So I always say to people like this, look, there's a lot of us open air preachers around and we love each other fervently, but if you put us together and say work together, we'd fall to pieces because we all do things our own way and we're all cranky.
Yeah.
So much as we love each other fervently in the Lord Jesus, we actually find it hard to work together.
Yeah, you're right.
So David's got his way of doing things, I've got my way of doing things, but it's the same gospel that's being preached. It's not, as I say, some people have the idea if we all got together.
But
for me, it's just straightforward expository preaching of the Bible. I don't use amplification because the reason I don't use it is because it's a bit windy today, but here's the acoustics are really good. The reason I don't use amplification is because I can get more expression into my voice by not using amplification, and I'm not concerned with the number of people I reach rather than the quality of the communication. But you know, there's each to their own. I'm certainly not against using amplification or reaching a bigger crowd. David from Gospel British Isles generally gets a crowd, and generally they get angry with him and trouble happens.
Yeah.
And saying in Hull, where I was, I was going out regularly and preaching in the open air, and David had been there, and during the time I was preaching, he was there, and he got arrested about 5 times in a row, and I didn't get arrested once.
Yeah.
And the police were absolutely ignorant of the law. He wasn't breaking the law, and every time he got handcuffed and put in a police van, he lectured them on the law.
Yeah.
And so it came to the point where one day 3 policemen walked towards me and I was preaching, and I said, I thought, this is it, you know, I'm going to be arrested, you know, put the cuffs on, officer, take me away. And I said, are you going to arrest me? They said, oh no, we're just trying to uphold your freedom of speech, sir. And that was the effect. That man had gone down 5 times, and the reason I was free to preach the gospel was because somebody else took the hit for it. So I never got arrested preaching in the Hull. But Michael Phillips, he has a 100% record of defending open air preachers, and because of his work, we are much freer in this country to preach the gospel in the open air. It's an extraordinary work that Michael's done there, and I have enormous respect for him. So thank you for your testimony. You might end up online. Thank you.
As long as it helps people. I mean, you don't know who's listening, do you?
I think what you've told me would be a big encouragement to many. So thank you so much, and thank you for stopping. I see you're getting a bit cold, but I've got to go too because of the parking. It's an honour to meet you and a blessing to bump into you. Thank you.
Obviously, we'll be in touch.
Yes.
After Christmas,
yes.
Perhaps hook up. Like you say, it doesn't work when there's a great big group. We've tried that in the past. I always find that 4 maximum is about the number.
Yes.
You get any more of that, more than that, it turns into like a bit of a Jolly Boys outing, like a preacher's
fest. You have to be absolutely focused. And if people come with me, that's fine. But I know what I'm called to do, and I'll often stand and preach for an hour. And it's quite hard for people to stand and support you for that length of time. But we
go all day. He's been out with us a few times. You know, he sort of does an hour and a half.
That's good.
The guy I've been with for 4 and a half years, he's from Shrewsbury as well.
Yes. Tough people from Shrewsbury.
He will stand.
Yeah.
For 5-6 hours.
Yes.
And he's so focused, it's untrue.
We've
been going out together preaching.
I respect that. I do what I can, but I respect that. And but either way, the gospel's going forth, and that's the only hope for this nation.
Yes.
And if it's not coming from the pulpits, it's coming from the streets. Thank God for that.
In fact, we get an attack from a lot of pastors. To be honest, we get. Sadly,
I've been in this book for 40 years, and I've been absolutely hauled over the coals for it time and again. I just love the work, and I know it's what God wants, and I know it's His work, and I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and that gospel that I know compels me to tell others about it.
Yes.
And nothing is bigger than the lie that people come and say, why did you do that, David? Nobody listens. Of course people listen.
Yeah, they do.
They do. They listen. They listen around corners. They listen. They stop their cars and round the window down. Or they come and stand there and they talk to you.
Yeah. They pretend they're not listening. They'll just hang about in the doorway. Like I say, but when you finish, they'll either come over or they'll have heard it and they'll walk off.
Yes.
You know, the minute you finish preaching, they've now walked off. They were there listening.
Yeah. And the Holy Spirit will take over. Well, the Holy Spirit was there all along, but he'll continue his work. But if there's no seed sowing, there won't be any harvest.
Of course.
Bless you in your work and encourage you.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you for the recording as well. Thank you. Well, that's a huge encouragement. I'm really thankful I bumped into those guys. And the first man who left, he had a child on his shoulder, so it's obvious he had to go because it's cold. But Lord, I just pray that you bless Kevin and his friends as they preach the gospel in the open air. I just pray, Father, that you would use them for your glory. I just pray, Father, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on them. I just pray that the word of God would go forth with unction and liberty when they preach in the open air. I pray, Father, for the open air that's being conducted here just now, and I pray, Father, as a result, there will be those who come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Praying especially for those young women, Lord, that they would find mercy in your eyes and find the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I pray that you'd have mercy upon this town and turn the hearts of sinners here to yourself. Oh, Lord, turn the tide, turn the days, and turn sinners back to yourself. Have mercy upon Muslims, Lord, and save them and deliver them from their sins. And this I ask and pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Well, that was really encouraging. Thank the Lord for that.